This message comes to you from Community Worship Center, Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is our prayer that this word brings guidance, strengthens relationships, inspires outreach, and draws you deeper into worship. At Community Worship Center, our motto is, "Let's grow together." May this message encourage your spirit and ignite your faith.
Let's go to the book of Acts. What book did I say? Acts chapter 16. What chapter did I say? And I'm reading it here in just one verse, very familiar verse, verse 25. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. When you have it, say amen. And the word of God says, and at midnight, when? Paul and Silas did what? And what? Unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord at this time as we consider for the next few moments a message entitled Present Predicaments. Present Predicaments. Bow your heads with me now. Father, speak to our hearts now like only you can. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen and amen. Life is full of uncertainty. Can we all agree on that today? It's full of uncertainty. It's full of predicaments. That word predicament is defined as a situation, especially an unpleasant, troublesome, or trying one from which extrication is difficult. There's a story, a Zen Buddhist story, of a monk who was fleeing from a hungry tiger. The monk was running for his life when he came to the edge of a cliff, cutting off any hope of escape from the hungry tiger. Fortunately for the monk, a vine happened to be growing over the edge. He grabs a hold of it and begins to climb down the cliff, out of the tiger's reach, who is by now glaring down at him from above. But alas, as the monk is climbing down, he sees another tiger waiting for him below, circling impatiently at the bottom of the cliff. Then, to make matters worse, out of the corner of his eye, he notices a mouse on a ledge above him beginning to gnaw and to chew through the vine. Then out of the corner of his other eye, he sees a strawberry plant growing from a crack in the cliff face. Not a very good situation to be in, is it? You see, brothers and sisters, this is a prime example of what it feels like to be caught between a rock and a hard place, which describes a situation where one must choose between two undesirable options, both leading to potential harm or negative consequences. Anybody ever felt like you were stuck in that kind of predicament before, where you didn't know what to do, you didn't know how things would turn out, you felt like this monk, where there was trouble above, there was trouble below, and there was trouble all around you? You felt like you can't go forward and you can't go backwards, but you can't stay where you are. You are caught in a predicament. See, that's what we're going to look at today. And hear me, brothers and sisters, because we are not going to Monday morning quarterback this thing where coaches and players and analysts get together and talk in hindsight about what they could have done differently or what they should have changed in order to make the outcome of the game different. No, we are going to look at present predicaments. In other words, how do I deal? How do I handle this predicament that I'm in right now? Especially, brothers and sisters, as Christians, as believers, because understand today that there is a way that God wants and expects us to respond. And I found a great illustration of this in the Word of God, and it's found right here in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And when I think of that word prison, certain words come to my mind, such as locked up, chained down, trapped, bondage, isolation, separation, punishment, marginalized, accused, abandoned, convicted, judged, and condemned. And let me just throw this in here because understand, many people feel this way about their lives, and they aren't even locked up behind bars. That's what makes this message so relevant as it pertains to present predicaments, because you don't even have to be physically locked up to feel like you're in prison. Because understand today, brothers and sisters, sometimes in life we feel bound. Sometimes in life we feel marginalized. Sometimes in life we feel all alone. We feel isolated. We feel trapped. We feel abandoned. Yea, even we feel condemned. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Well, let's look at Paul and Silas and how they handled their present predicament, and let's see what we can learn from their experience today, which will help us as we face our very own present predicaments. And there are 3 points. How many did I say? There are 3 points that we can surmise from their experience, brothers and sisters, that we want to look at today. The first point that we find here that will help us along this journey as we are dealing with our various and very own different present predicaments is that they did not allow their present predicament to hinder their picture of God. Their what? Their picture of God. Understand today, brothers and sisters, that under normal circumstances and to the ordinary eye, Paul and Silas had every reason to be upset and angry with God because of their situation, because of their present predicament. They are sitting in prison. Not because they did anything wrong. They are sitting in prison all because they followed orders. All because they were being obedient. You see, verse 7 lets us know that Paul and Silas desired to go to a city, a place called Bithynia. But the word says that the Spirit did not permit them, in other words, did not let them go there. So as a result, they ended up in Troas that night. And during the nighttime, Paul received a vision. Listen to what the text says. Verse 9 and 10 says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." Don't miss what's going on here. Paul and Silas desired to go somewhere else, but God did not allow them. And now here at midnight, at nighttime, he receives a vision of a man from Macedonia asking them to come over and help them. After that experience, everyone believed undoubtedly that it was God's will for them to go preach in Macedonia. So they set sail from Macedonia, and after they had been there for a few days, they went out that Sabbath by the riverside and prayed and spoke to the women who were gathered there. And there was a certain woman named Lydia who believed in God and heard the words of Paul. And as she heard them, God opened her heart. And as a result, Lydia and her household were baptized after she invited them to come to her house. And around this time, a slave girl who's demon-possessed enters the picture. And this demon-possessed girl was the meal ticket for her masters because she earned them a lot of money by fortune-telling. And she began to follow Paul and Silas and cried out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." So she did this for many days until Paul, being tired of it, turned around and in the name of Jesus Christ commanded the spirit to come out of her. When her masters saw that their source of income was gone now because the evil spirit was cast out of her, they angrily brought Paul and Silas before the magistrate and accused them of troubling the city by teaching things that were not lawful to them to receive because they were Romans. And as a result, Paul and Silas were beaten and bloodied with rods and then thrown into prison. As a matter of fact, they were thrown into the inner prison where their feet were placed in wooden stocks, which could be adjusted as to force a man's legs wide apart into a painful position. Look at what we have here, brothers and sisters. Paul and Silas were beaten, not by hand, but with rods, bleeding, no chance to be cleaned up, and then immediately thrown into the inner prison, chained with their legs fastened in stocks. All because they were being obedient. They received the vision to come to Macedonia to help, and they came, and all because they helped a girl who was held captive by a demonic spirit, but they delivered this girl and set her free, and their reward was a prison house. They had every reason to be upset and angry. We're just trying to do the right thing. We're trying to be obedient. And look at what it gets us. We're just trying to help somebody else and make a difference in somebody else's life. God, we're just trying to be faithful and do what you've called us to do. And this is the thanks we get. They had every reason to have a pity party. They had every reason to be angry and upset, confused over why this just happened to them. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? All you tried to do was the right thing. You just tried to help somebody else. You went the extra mile trying to be a good Samaritan, but you ended up paying for it. You ended up with the short end of the stick, feeling like God has left you hanging, and you're frustrated and angry. And guess what? That's what the enemy wants. That's how the enemy wants you to respond. That's how he wants you to feel. But brothers and sisters, look at how Paul and Silas responded. As they were beaten and thrown into the inner prison, verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They didn't get angry and upset, but they prayed and sang praises unto God. In other words, they didn't allow their present predicament to hinder their picture of God. And what that means is that in spite of what had just happened, in spite of all that had taken place, and how they were wrongfully beaten and thrown in prison, yet they still saw God as someone who was still worthy to be praised and worshiped. They still saw God as the answer to their problems, the one who could do something about their present predicament, and that's why they prayed. You see, too often we allow our present predicament, our circumstances, to hinder our picture of God. When I'm doing good and things are great in my life, then God is good, yea, even great. But the moment that things begin to get a little rough, things get a little hard, backs up against the wall, when it does not make any sense what you're going through, then oftentimes the same God who was just good, yea, even great, is now viewed as a deserter. Who was not there for me when I needed him most. He left me all alone, and we stop praying and stop praising, and dare even say some of us stop coming to church, all because we didn't have faith in God, and we allowed our circumstances to dictate our view of God. And now oftentimes, because our view of God has changed, we turn our back on him, and as a result, we oftentimes miss out on what God is trying to do. Because understand today, brothers and sisters, that God has a purpose and a plan for everything. All we see is the present. What's happening in the moment. When God is looking at the big picture, God is looking at the totality of everything. He's looking at the outcome of what he is trying to accomplish. Oh, stay with me. This leads me, brothers and sisters, to the second point we find here. Because Paul and Silas did not allow their present predicament to hinder their picture of God. As a result, they did not allow it to hinder their pursuit of God. You see, when you have the right picture of God, is always followed by our pursuit of God. Now, not that God has gone anywhere or left us, but it changes our desire for God. You see, understand, when you see God as the one who loves you more than anybody else, more than you could ever love yourself, when you see God as your healer and deliverer, the one who restores, the one who is a problem solver, who can turn any situation around, when you see God as the comforter that he is, who will comfort you in your darkest hour, when everyone else is gone or too busy to be there for you, when you need them most, but God is still there, when you see God as your sustainer, the one who keeps you going, when you feel like giving up, when you want to throw in the towel, when you recognize that God has your best interest in mind and only wants to give you peace and joy and happiness, when you understand that he wants to give you victory over every struggle, issue, and addiction in your life, when you know that he wants to break the chains in your life that keep you bound so that you can be free, when you recognize that he loves you so much that he gave up all of heaven, laid aside his divinity to come down to this earth and die for you so that you could have a chance to live eternally, when that's your picture of God, when that's how you see him, you can't help but want to pursue him. You see, brothers and sisters, understand. Understand. The devil, our adversary, doesn't want us to see God in that light. He doesn't want you to see God in this way. That's why in this great controversy between good and evil, he has attacked God's character. Because he wants you to believe that God is unfair, that God is unjust, that God is a tyrant, that he's not a loving God, but a God that abuses his power and authority. You see, brothers and sisters, our adversary, the devil, understands that if your picture or view of God is distorted, then that will hinder your pursuit of God. That word pursuit is defined as the action of following or pursuing someone or something. And brothers and sisters, that's what we find right here in our text. Paul and Silas pursuing God through their prayers and singing songs of praise unto him. In essence, they're saying, God, right now, I want you. I need you right now. And brothers and sisters, what stands out to me here is that the text says it was at midnight. In other words, it's late. They are in prison. And they are bruised, broken, and bloodied. Not to mention the fact that midnight symbolizes darkness, trouble. Most of the time when you hear about things happening at midnight, 9 times out of 10, whatever it is that is happening is not good. Thieves oftentimes break in and steal at midnight. Murderers oftentimes kill in the midnight hour. Midnight and darkness oftentimes symbolize evil and wickedness. In the Star Wars movies, any individual who turned bad, they were described as having gone over to the dark side. But the Bible says it was at midnight that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It was there at midnight when the odds were all against them. when there was a lot of uncertainty about tomorrow, when trouble was knocking at the door. For some of us here today, midnight is when the bills are due and we don't know where the money is going to come from. Midnight is when you're lying flat on your face, crying out for your children. Midnight is when you receive that bad news from the doctor that you're sick and there's nothing they can do. Midnight is when your marriage is crumbling and falling apart right before your own eyes. For somebody, midnight was when you lost that loved one and you didn't know how you were going to make it. But hear me now, it's at these moments that our Christian faith must kick in, believing that God is a faithful God and believing that he always comes through right on time, believing that even though with my own two eyes I may not see it, but yet he's never failed me before, and I know he's working it out for my good. You see, Paul and Silas understood this. That's why at midnight they rejoiced. They sang praises. They had a concert right there in prison. As a matter of fact, if you really think about it, some of the times you feel closest to God are at midnight, after you've exhausted all measures and nothing has worked out, and you realize that the only way you're going to make it is through God and God alone. Some of the best testimonies come at midnight. Some of the most powerful sermons are prepared in the midnight hour. The Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation during a midnight experience, exiled and all alone on the Isle of Patmos. Listen, brothers and sisters, one preacher said that when you think about it, some of the sweetest songs of the Christian faith were composed in the darkness during midnight experiences. Fanny Crosby came down with a fever a few months after her birth that left her completely blind, but she later testified that with the loss of physical sight and moving around in darkness, God turned the light on inside of her soul, that though she was in darkness, she sat down one day and she penned the words, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Oh, brothers and sisters, you see, she did not allow her present predicament to hinder her pursuit of God. And as a result, look at all of the countless millions, yea, even billions of individuals who have been blessed by her songs, have been blessed by her ministry. Who knows how many souls have surrendered their lives to Jesus off of the words to one of her hymns. And this leads me, brothers and sisters, to my last point. Because just like Fanny Crosby, Paul and Silas didn't allow their present predicament to hinder their pursuit of God. And as a result, lastly, it did not hinder their promotion of God. It's right there in the text. The text is, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Is that what your Bible says? Listen, brothers and sisters. Prayer and praise are powerful weapons. God responded by shaking the foundations of the prison, opening all the doors and loosening the prisoners' bands. And let me just throw this in here. The text says they sang praises unto God. It says, and all the prisoners heard them. Listen, if they can open up their mouths and lift up their voices in prison, praising God, then we ought to be able to do it in church. The text continues saying, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. Watch this now, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Brothers and sisters, watch what's going on here. The earthquake wakes the keeper of the prison up. And to his dismay, he sees all of the prison doors open. He just knew in himself that all of the prisoners had escaped. So he pulls out his sword, ready to kill himself. This is because it was a Roman law that said that if a guard lost a prisoner, he was given the same punishment they would have received. So there must have been some men in the prison who had committed capital crimes. The jailer would rather commit suicide than face shame and execution. A hard-hearted person seeking vengeance would have let the cruel jailer kill himself, but Paul was not that kind of man. For Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And let me just throw this in here. The text does not mention it, but I just believe that as Paul and Silas, two innocent men, were thrown in prison, but as they were in prison, the Bible says that they prayed and sang praises unto God, and it says, and all the prisoners heard them. And I just believe today that as the prisoners heard them, that it must have had some kind of impact on them. You may be wondering how so. Well, let me just say that after the earthquake, it's still dark, and now all of the prison doors are opened, and all of their chains were loosed. They could have easily escaped, but they all stayed, hardened criminals, murderers, some on death row waiting to be executed, but they all stayed. They did not move. You see, the magnitude of the moment was so profound that it impacted the jailer, so that when Paul cried out and said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here, the jailer immediately called for light and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, what must I do to be saved? Everything that had just happened had such a profound impact on the jailer that he recognized that this was not just some natural disaster that took place, but he recognized that this was the work of a supernatural power that was moving in that place. So he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Don't miss that. There is still hope for your house. And they continued to speak the word of the Lord to all that were in his house, and they were all baptized. You may be wondering, how did this happen? It's because they did not allow their present predicament to hinder their promotion of God. In other words, they did not allow their circumstance to hinder their witness for God. For all we know, this jailer could have been one of the very men who mistreated and abused Paul and Silas. But yet they did not allow that to hinder their ability and opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. You see, Paul and Silas, they realized that even though they were prisoners locked in the inner prison, and though this man was the guard, the keeper of the prison, yet they realized that the jailer was the real prisoner and not themselves, and they desired to set him free. You see, we have to get to the point where we don't allow outside circumstances, we don't allow present predicaments, problems, hinder our promotion of God, because you never know who God is trying to reach through your present predicament. You may be feeling down on your job, can't seem to get that promotion, can't seem to get out of that building. Well, maybe it's because there's somebody in that building that God is trying to reach through you. So instead of getting angry and frustrated, keep smiling and lifting up the name of Jesus. I know sometimes you feel like giving up, throwing in the towel because you feel bound and stuck. But I tell you, he is going to work it out. You just got to keep praising him, keep lifting up his name. It was when they prayed and praised God that the foundations of the prison were shaken. You've got to keep praising him. Sickness in your body, you can't seem to get well, and you're tired and wondering why you have to keep going back to that hospital or that doctor's office time and time again. But I tell you to keep praising, keep lifting up the name of Jesus, because maybe there's somebody in that hospital, somebody in your sphere that God is trying to save through you or your situation. You see, brothers and sisters, if Paul and Silas had never been thrown in that prison, they probably never would have met the Philippian jailer. And as a result, he may have never surrendered his life to Christ. He and his household, they may have never been baptized. And when you understand it from this aspect, you understand that God is always in control. Hallelujah, in this place, brothers and sisters, you recognize that God is always in control. Even when your situation seems out of control, even when the situation doesn't make any sense, he is always in control. So I say it again, don't ever allow your present predicament to hinder your promotion of God. And I'm almost through, brothers and sisters. But as the text says in verse 35, listen to this. And when it was day, this is the next day. the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let these men go." On the next morning, the magistrate sends word to let Paul and Silas go. Two men, two believers, who committed no crime. The only thing they did was set a girl who was bound and possessed by a demonic spirit. But all they did was set her free, and they were thrown into prison for it. And now on the next day, the magistrates send words to let them go free. Because, understand, they really had no reason to hold them in the first place. This is important because I just don't believe that it's a coincidence that on the morning after the Philippian jailer and his whole household were baptized, that Paul and Silas were set free. But I believe, brothers and sisters, that it was because they had fulfilled their divine assignment, and it was time to move on to the next one. Listen, sometimes when we think we are going through, when we think that this trial is more than we can bear and we don't understand why, but in reality, we are on divine assignment and God is working. Because remember that Paul wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit wouldn't allow him to go there. Then later that night, Paul received the vision of a man in Macedonia asking him to come over there and help them. And I just don't believe that it's a coincidence that he received the vision and then ends up meeting the Philippian jailer in prison and baptizing his whole household and then on the next morning being set free. I don't believe it was a coincidence, but I believe it was all a part of God's divine plan. It was according to his purpose. And I say to you today, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how long you've been going through it. I don't have all the answers to your questions. But one thing I do know is that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And sometimes his plans and purposes may cause us to have to be placed in some uncomfortable situations and positions. But you've got to understand today that it's all for his glory, and he's using your present predicament to make a difference in somebody else's life. So I say to you today, don't allow your present predicament to hinder your picture of God. Don't allow your present predicament to hinder your pursuit of God. And don't allow your present predicament to hinder your promotion of God. And just by chance, if you get a little weary along the journey, don't forget about the predicament that we put God in. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when our foreparents ate from the tree and brought sin into this world, God had a predicament. Do I let them die or do I let my son die? And I tell you today, God chose life for you and for me. He chose to sacrifice his son. That's why he came down to this earth, laid aside his divinity, wrapped himself up in humanity. Also, he could suffer, bleed, and die. They led him on up Golgotha's hill. Talk about a predicament. They stretched his arms wide and they nailed him to an old rugged cross. And our God hung, bled, and died for your sins and for mine. Then they laid him in a borrowed tomb, and he laid there all night Friday, and he laid there all day Saturday, and he laid there all night Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And I'm so glad that he got up. It's because he got up that I can rise today. It's because he got up that in spite of all my present predicaments I'm in, I can stand just like Paul and Silas and I can pray and sing praises unto my God. I can declare, praise him, praise him. Our blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, I said, hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor, give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, he will guard his children in his arms. He carries us all day long. Praise him. Praise him. Tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him. Ever in joyful song. Or I can declare, come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call of songs of loudest praise. Teach me, Lord, teach me, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Or maybe I'll just cry out, to God be the glory. Great things he had done. So loved he the world, that he gave his only son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people, I said, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him, I said, give him all the glory, the great things he had done. In spite of what you're going through, in spite of your present predicament, you got to remember the great things that he had done, and you ought to praise him right now. The psalm writer says, make a joyful noise, make a joyful noise, not unto me, not unto you, but unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come, come before his presence with singing. Know ye, I said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are, I am, you are his people. We are his people. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful. I said, be thankful. You ought to be thankful
and bless his name, for the Lord. I said, for the Lord. For the Lord is good. Anybody know that he's good? Did he wake you up this morning? Did he start you on your way? Are you still in your right mind? I got the activity of my limbs. All of my bills are paid. I took my wife to the hospital, but she came out well. The baby's still well. For the Lord is good, and his mercy. I thank God for his mercy. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth, I said his truth, it endures in spite of what you're going through. His truth endures in spite of your ups and downs. His truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah in this place. Somebody say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Hallelujah.
Brothers and sisters, we have come too far to turn back now. Anybody believe that today? And this message, this word, this text, so powerful for what many are experiencing now, because it reminds us, brothers and sisters, we don't have to be doing wrong to end up in difficult spots. To end up in unfavorable situations and circumstances. To take some L's. It comes with the territory. But we never lose the battle. We may have some bad days, some bad moments, some hurtful seasons, but we do not lose the battle. Because Christ has already won the war. And sometimes what you're going through is not because of what you've done. Sometimes you're just on divine assignment. God is working. And just like with Paul and Silas, on the next day when they were set free, when the assignment is fulfilled, it ends. The circumstance. You follow me? But sometimes we get so bent out of shape with what we're going through
that we cause ourselves to spend longer time in that circumstance, that situation, because our mind is so out of tune with God. We're angry with him that we're not seeking him. And we delay our own burdens oftentimes, when God is trying to make a difference, not only in our life, but in somebody else's. How many of you believe that today? So, brothers and sisters, from this day forward, we ask God to give us the power. But we cannot allow our present predicaments to continue to hinder our picture of God. When I sin, make a mistake, I'm so grateful and know that because of God's grace and mercy toward me, hear what I'm going to say, that though I messed up, his thoughts about me have not changed. Hear where I'm going. We're talking about our picture of God. We have to get through that point where we stop allowing our circumstances, the things that we go through, dictate our picture of him. When everything's good, God is great. When I'm going through, I don't want to have anything to do with God. That's what the enemy wants more than anything. And he doesn't need any help, but oftentimes we make it easier on him to trip us when we isolate ourselves because we've allowed our picture of God to be changed. And so now I'm upset with God. I'm upset with brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. I'm not coming to church. I'm not answering anybody's calls. I'm not opening the door for anyone. I'm not texting anyone back. Watch this. So no one in the church has access to you. You're mad at God not responding to him. So now it's just you and the adversary. You hear what I'm saying? We all been there. We've all had those moments. But we have to ask God today. We've come too far to turn back now. God, I can't allow it to hinder my picture of you. Because if it does, it automatically hinders my pursuit of you. Not that God has gone anywhere. He's still here. But we're talking about our desire for him. That's that pursuit, my desire for him. Longing is to be with him. Paul and Silas, in spite of everything that happened, legs stretched apart in a dark prison in the inside, had a concert, sought God in prayer and song, sang praises unto him. And because it did not hinder that, it did not hinder their promotion of God. And oftentimes, God is using us, using our experiences to try to reach others. But oftentimes, we miss out on that opportunity because we've allowed our circumstances to hinder our ability to promote him. And we ultimately miss out on our own blessing in the process. Does this make any sense to anyone? And so my appeal is simple. It's for that soul who just, you've heard this message, the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart today, and you feel the need, you want to press closer. This first appeal, I'm inviting that individual who is going through, you're struggling with your predicaments right now, you are on the verge of giving up, but you want to say, God, I want to press closer to you. I need you today. Help me. I'm that soul, God. I'm one of those souls. Help me not to give up while I'm going through, but from this day forward, not to allow my present predicaments to hinder my picture of God, my pursuit of God, my promotion of God. If that's you, you want to say, God, I need you to help me there, and I want to be a part of this prayer. I invite you to come join me. I invite you to come down and be a part of this prayer today, this prayer of hope, of help. God bless you. Wherever you are, you know what you're going through. You know if you're on the verge of how you're going to make it out of this. But you're saying, God, help me no longer to allow this to help me, to cause me to hinder my picture of you, my pursuit of you, my promotion of you. No matter who you are, just come on down. Time, if you want to be a part of this, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. You say, God, I'm going through. And I want to fall by the wayside. Next appeal is for that soul who's here. You can still make your way down while I'm talking if you want to be a part of this prayer. But it's for that individual here. Maybe there is a soul here who needs a little more today. You see, one of the reasons why Paul and Silas could sing and praise, could pray and sing praises unto God, even at midnight, because they were in a relationship with him. They'd already surrendered all. He was number one in their life. And maybe there's a soul here today. Maybe you already come down front. Maybe you're still remaining in your seat. Maybe you're online. You're tuning in online. And if this appeal applies to you, I invite you. There's a link in the chat. I invite you to click on it and fill out that decision. But I have individuals stationed throughout this sanctuary. But this appeal is for that individual who needs to go a step further. Maybe you need to give your life to him. Maybe you've never done it before. Maybe you had done it years ago, but you went away. You need to be restored. As you heard us mention, there's a baptism coming up in October, October 18. Maybe there's a soul here. Paul and Silas had that connection with him. That's why they could sing and pray and praise God, even at midnight, in spite of their present predicament. But you're going through and you don't know which way to turn, because you've been going through this life without God at the center of your life. And you want to surrender all. You want to give your life to him now. Maybe it's Bible study you need. Whatever it is you need. You want to say, I want to be baptized. I want to give my life, go all the way with Christ. Maybe I need to renew it because I walked away. But whoever you are, you're here. If you're down front, if you're in your seat, I have individual stationed throughout the sanctuary, just raise that hand so we can acknowledge you. There's a card that we want you to fill out and we'll be in touch with you. Just raise that hand nice and high. If you're online, there's a link in the chat. Just click on that link and you can say yes to Jesus on this day. You can leave this place today in the midst of what you're going through, knowing that your life has been changed, been turned around, that you're no longer walking this journey alone. But you're surrendering it all to Christ today. You're here, just raise that hand, whoever you are, before we pray. Just raise it nice and high before we pray now. We'll make one last call before we pray. Raise that hand nice and high. If you're online, click the link. I see a hand in the back. God bless you. God bless you. Is there another?
There's still time. There's still time. Make your calling and election sure. Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back soon. That individual is filling out the card. Is there another? You hear there's time, there's hope for you, there's room for you at the cross. Before we pray, is there another? Is there another? Last call now. Let's raise it nice and high. Did I see a hand go up? Just raise it. Before I pray now. God bless you. God bless you. The Spirit is moving. Is there another? Remember, if you're online, I see that hand. God bless you. Is there another? God bless you, my brother. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah in this place. Is there another? God is saving his children. Is there another? You can leave this place today. Maybe your circumstance won't be changed, but you can be different. And God's going to work it out. Just say yes to him. Just say yes to him. Any others before we pray? There's room for you at the cross. There's room for you at the cross. If you want to say, I want to make this church my home. You feel like you're growing here, you're learning here. You want to say, I want to make this my home. You already giving your life to Christ. Make this my home. You can raise your hand too. There's a spot for you on our card. Just raise that hand as we get ready to pray. Is there another hand that went up? Last call. I don't see any other hands. We're going to pray now. I believe I saw four hands that went up that are already out, so let's make sure we get all four of those cards back. If there are any others, let's make sure we get those, turn those in as well. Let's pray, brothers and sisters. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, because there's no one like you. We thank you, God, because in spite of our present predicaments, just like you were with Paul and Silas at midnight, you'll be with us. We thank you, God, because truth of the matter is the only reason we're still here, the only reason we made it thus far, is because you've kept us. You've never turned your back on us. I pray right now, God, for every soul under the sound of my voice. I pray for those in their homes who are tuning in now, who may watch later and make decisions for you. I pray, God, that whoever's made a decision today, that your Spirit would continue to rest, rule, and abide with them. Help them to know that the decision they made for Christ today is the best decision they'll ever make. And if someone is tuning in tonight, today, God, home, because of what they've been going through and they've predicaments have allowed them to isolate themselves, I pray, God, that you would restore them back today. That by this time next Sabbath, God, that someone will come and shake my hand and say, I was one of them that had been isolated, but I'm back today. Because God has brought me home. And I pray for those who've come down to this altar, saying, God, that they're struggling, they're going through, they're dealing with stuff, and may have even been on the verge of feeling like throwing in the towel. But I'm asking you in the name of Jesus today, God, that you would give them the victory they need. Help them to stand strong. Help them to whatever it is, God, you're working and moving in their life, God. That they'll know not to get in the way of what you're doing and not to be so focused on the trial or the issue, but to seek you, God, and what you are accomplishing in their lives. And that from this day forward, nothing they go through will ever hinder their picture of God, their pursuit of God, and their promotion of God. And then lastly, those who have filled on cards making decisions to go all the way with you. Maybe some of you need in baptism. We're asking God that even on this day, that you will seal their decision. In the coming days, don't allow the adversary, as he tries to get them to go back on their decisions and to cause things that may rise, I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. But I pray that you will seal their decision now. And may we help and prepare them to be ready for this walk with you. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen.